Fret Film Radio. I'm Matt McCucci, and I'm joined by John McKenna and Gabriel Clark, who are the directors of the documentary Steve McQueen, The Man in Le Mans, here in the Cannes Classic section of the 68 Cannes Film Festival.
If you could just tell our listeners a little bit about what you talk about in this film, Steve McQueen, The Man in Le Mans.
Well, I think what hopefully people are going to take from this film about Steve McQueen is something new. I mean, even for those who remember Steve McQueen, or for those of a younger generation who've just seen his face looking beautiful on adverts for clothes and cars, they're going to take something new about Steve McQueen from this film, because this was a time in Steve McQueen's life when he was at the top of his fame. He arrived off the film called Bullet as a very, very powerful man, wanted to make his passion project called Le Mans, the ultimate racing film, which he'd been wanting to make for years. And he arrived in France with a huge budget, with a wonderful cast, with the best drivers in the world, and for the next 6 months faced the biggest challenge of his life. It, he said, nearly cost him his life. It certainly cost him his marriage, some of the key relationships in his life, and despite it all, he still made the film, and he made a film that is regarded by many today as the ultimate racing movie. So it's the story of the journey that McQueen went on, for better or for worse, through heaven and hell, to make this film called Le Mans.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that the film is so successful at is actually showing the passion that he had for racing. Now, obviously, to undertake this type of project and to really stick to it, even when he had to struggle against studios and everything, took some sort of commitment. So how did you first realize that all this had happened in the production, and what really made you want to tell the story of how it came about?
Well, we made a documentary in 2010 for ITV in the UK about James Hunt and Barry Sheen, motorsport documentary with an executive producer, Andrew Marriott, which was his idea. So we made that. It was well received. Off the back of that, Andrew said, "Have you ever read about Steve McQueen and the set of Le Mans?" And gave us a little treatment, and we hadn't. So we read about it, we read up about it, and we went to see if anybody had ever done this story before in documentary form, and they hadn't, to the extent we wanted to do it. So we realised that this was a hidden story, basically, and set about then proving to ourselves that A, it was as good a story as we thought it was going to be, and B, to make a documentary, to make a film, whether there was any footage out there that would allow us to portray what was going on. So we then started a global search with our archive producer, Richard Wiseman, to see if there was any documentary footage or evidence from the time that would allow us to show what was really going on set. And there was an initial 14-minute behind-the-scenes feature. We approached the guy who made that. He went digging in his garage and found a 45-minute version that had never been outside of the film canisters. So that was transferred. We looked at that and we were like, wow, okay, stage one. At the same time, Richard found a documentary made by a Swiss company called Song of Le Mans, which had been sitting in a Paris basement, which was about 45 minutes long. We got a copy of that. We thought, okay, right, we've got two 45-minute documentaries here now from the time period. I think we've got enough to make a documentary. So we then went out, made approaches to get to Chad McQueen to see if he'd be interested in doing this with us and being involved. Went to meet Chad in Malibu. He liked the way we proposed we were going to tell the story honestly about what happened. No agenda. And so we started, and that's it. And it's been fast ever since, and we hoped that we'd find what we termed the Holy Grail, which was the million feet of film that we'd read about that McQueen had shot in France. And everybody told us, nah, it's been burned, it's been incinerated, it's been thrown away, no chance. Lost leads here, we were told it was in a New Jersey lockup, it wasn't. We were told several times it had been incinerated. And then a late-night phone call that Gabriel had was with an editor on the film, and he said he didn't know where it was. He assumed it would have been destroyed, but why don't you just try and ring the facility that we edited at, which we did. And they came back to us and said, we've just found between 400 and 600 boxes under a soundstage, which has got Le Mans written on the side. And then we had to get that transferred. It was negatives, so we had to get that transferred, and that was the big weight. I mean, we assumed it was what we thought it was going to be, but until you see it, you don't know. And then we got that sent over, and it was a big moment when we first saw that it was the Lost Rushes. So, yeah.
It's incredible. And how long did the whole process take?
from start to finish, end of 2010, start of 2011 was when Andrew came to us with the idea. Right. And so
we had a couple of years in there where we were doing other work, but then came back to this in about sort of mid 2013 when we went to see Chad. Luckily enough, we were financed sort of early 2014. So and then started filming in May 2015. So it's taken from May 2014. We started filming in May 2014 and delivered in March. So that's what, the best part of 10 months filming and putting it together. So pretty quick. We've made the film pretty quickly, but to try and make deadlines and to try and obviously do what we wanted to do. But I think that's also been a good discipline to have. You know, right. We were in place. We had many things really fell into place for us. Like John says, the archive discovery, which we were able to look at as we continued to make the film, which was great.
And this film actually also looks at Steve McQueen, the man. So I'm very curious about the different contributions that you got from friends and family, and some of them really personal, some of them I wasn't even aware of. What was that process like, approaching them? Were they really open and willing to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the fascinating things, I think, about it. When you make a documentary, you wonder, when you make that phone call, if they're just going to put the phone down, because they were so upset at the time working with this maniac called Steve McQueen, or they really loved him. Because listen, this guy was dominating everything that was happening on that set, for better or for worse, for the best part of 9 months. But what we discovered, I think, and John will hopefully agree, is that the people that we rang up, even if they'd been betrayed by Steve, even if they'd been let down by Steve, and listen, we're talking about his wife as well, you know, whose marriage crumbled on set, partly because of Steve's infidelity, they all wanted to talk about this particular time in his life, partly, I think, because they'd never really talked about it, but also, I think, because with time, with 45 years passing, they realised, I think, and time's a great healer, as they say, that Steve had in mind for this film only the very best, and that is why, maybe, he was the man that he was on set, you know, and that most of them are also proud in different ways, or remember fondly having been involved with him at that time, even though he might have been a demon towards them, if that makes sense. I think they recognize the quality in the man, despite everything.
Yeah, no, and actually, I feel like I should highlight that occasionally you actually did the shots of all these people that are talking about him, and they're really quiet, and you know, it just looks like they're gazing into, you know, open space, and they're remembering, recollecting, you know, all these things that happened, with a sense of nostalgia, even though it was a really intense time. And another thing that I really liked about the film is that even though we know Steve McQueen as the actor and then, you know, the king of cool, the super Hollywood superstar, at times it actually felt like a sports documentary, a documentary about a sports icon. Is that something else that you played with, that this kind of cinema and sports thing?
Well, yeah, I think the sport is a big theme in it, as is the superstar, and I think that was always going to be there, I think, with the cars. And when we found the Rushes, we realised that it was going to be there on a bigger, better scale than ever had been seen before. You know, longer takes of beautiful car racing, shot at racing speeds. So in a way, we were lucky to have that material to make these sequences that are how Steve McQueen envisaged them in 1970. In a way, we were lucky to have that as our our sort of materials. However, it's very much about a sport. It's very much about a superstar. But I think for us, the main thing and the main attraction to it, and hopefully the main thing people will take from the film, or possibly the main thing people will take from the film, is it's about the man, and it's about him, and it's about he loved the sport, but he also, his love of the sport did so much to him in this time frame that hopefully it's about, the sport is a beautiful backdrop, he is a beautiful backdrop, but hopefully underneath that there's a real, people will get to know him more.
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks very much for talking with us about it. It was a real pleasure, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.